You'll take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8. Right after the book of Proverbs, we find the book of Ecclesiastes. Very interesting verse to me. Back in 1977, I got my discharge. It was the final discharge. I served in the Air Force from 71 to 75, and then I was in the inactive reserve for 2 years. But finally, I got this paper in the mail that said, "You are discharged. You're out. That's it. You're finished. You're done." Then some years later, the Navy tried to get me to go and join with them. And I said, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pastor churches and serve the Lord. And don't want to get in the chaplaincy at that point." Not against it. It's just something I didn't feel led to do. But notice with me here, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit." Everybody is going to die. Absolutely no doubt about that. No doubt about it. Ted Williams had his body frozen so they might be able to bring him back to physical life. Somebody, I believe they forgot about him or something, and he thawed out, so I guess he's out of luck, which we don't believe in luck, but he done thawed. And then it says, "Neither hath he power in the day of death." Now notice this next phrase here. "And there is no discharge in that war." You cannot get out. You're going to die. There's no doubt about that. One of these days, you're going to die. "Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Everybody's going to die. Child of God is going to die. Child of wickedness, going to die. It's going to happen. No discharge. Can't get out. You can't get out. Some die young. Back about 5 years ago, I got the call early in the morning concerning three boys in a pickup truck. Slick tires on the old truck, and it was raining, and the truck veered over, and then a big semi veered toward them, killed all three of them. Two of them were members of the Elliott Baptist Church. One of them was lost. That was a sad day. Amen. That was a sad time. All three of them, 17 years old, dead. Dead. It's sad, but death comes. It happens to all. We go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we notice there in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and verse 55, where the scripture says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Well, death has a sting to it. If you're lost, it has a sting to it. And we do grieve as Christians when somebody dies. But the Bible says the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He takes the sting out. Amen. He does. He takes the sting out. I have been at the bedside of folks who died without Christ. That's a sad thing. I have been at the bedside of those who have died in Christ. That's a blessed thing. Because the sting isn't there, you see. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep on serving. Keep on going. The Lord Jesus has taken care of the sting of death. You see, death doesn't get the last word. Jesus has the last word.
Amen.
Death is a subject we'd like to avoid. We don't like to talk about death. We don't want to talk about death. No one likes to think about death. It's something we don't want to dwell on because it is something so dreadful. I guess it was day before yesterday, we went over to Elkton and Brother Duke was working on the computer for Brother Cummings over there, Cummins, and I went over to the cemetery. I love to go through cemeteries. It's just one of those things I do. If I see a cemetery and I have time, I stop. And I go through it. And I wanted to find someone who was born in 1808 or before. I had a purpose in that. And I found several. I found some born in the 1700s. Found some in there. Found several, 1808. A little before. You say, what's your purpose? Well, Jefferson Davis was born in 1808 there at Fairview. And just think, there may have been some folk born the same time, the same area he was born in. Now, that doesn't interest anybody but me, but that's fine. But I go and I like to look at tombstones, and I like to read tombstones. But other folks don't want to be in the cemetery. They don't want to go in the cemetery. They're afraid of that. They don't like that. There are those who have a real fear of it. You see? But death needs to be understood. Death is an enemy. And you don't get a discharge. You understand, don't you?
Right.
Death is an enemy. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 26... 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. We've got an enemy, we're fighting an enemy, but one day death will be destroyed. There'll be no more death. There'll be no sorrow, no crying, there'll be no death. That'll be past, you see. But the last enemy is death. So you're in the war, and the last enemy is death. Do you know death is unnatural? It's not natural. We were born to live. Man was created to live. Man wasn't created to die. It's an unnatural thing. Death is not at all natural. So what happened? Well, the Bible tells us that death came because of sin. If hadn't been any sin, wouldn't be any death. Amen?
Right.
But death came because of sin. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's physical death. Spiritual death came, Romans 6:23. The first part of that verse, it says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve death, and that death is spiritual death, separation from God. Death is an enemy. We weep at death. Jesus wept. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. I don't want to get into all the theology of that or the supposed thoughts about that. There are those who say he wept because he was going to have to bring him back and he'd come back, and that could be, but I believe he wept because he cared. You know, we weep at death because we care. We care about those who have gone on. We care about those who stay. Many times I weep for those who are left behind. I do. Because they're the ones that are going to have the grieving and hurting. And I weep for them. If a Christian dies, I'm not so much weeping for them. They're gone. They're gone to heaven.
Amen.
Going to a better place. There are times when I weep because I know that I've preached the funeral of somebody who's lost. John 11:35, our children at the supper table, we'd always say, all right, now everybody quote a verse. Quote a verse. And boy, every time somebody wanted to jump first, in John 11:35, Jesus wept. They wanted to get that one. We had a little bread box on the table and pull scripture out and read scripture. And when we didn't do that, they'd quote John 11:35. Weeping proves the pain of death, does it not? I mean, it's a painful thing. It does. And then those graves remind us that death stalks us all. I mean, it's stalking us. I don't know when that day will come for me, but that day's coming. But you know what? I want to live. I have no desire to die. None. I don't want to die.
Right.
I want to live. You see, it's unnatural to die. Death isn't a natural thing. Sin brought death. So I want to live. But death doesn't get the last word. You see, salvation says that death doesn't get the last word. Salvation says that death doesn't get the last word.
Amen.
Jesus came to restore what was lost because of sin. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save the soul, but he also came to restore that which was lost. That makes sense?
Amen.
He came to restore that which was lost, restore us to a right relationship with the Lord God. It's an important thing for us to see. He came to bring life to the dying. John 11 and verse 25. He came to bring life to the dying. At Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, what a beautiful place it is. There is inscribed on his tombstone these words, John 11:25. I am, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
And you know who requested those words be put on his tombstone? George Washington. Don't you run down George Washington around me. He's one of my heroes, even if he did have wooden teeth. Jesus said it, I am the resurrection and the life. I like that.
Amen.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But if you don't believe on him, if you don't trust him, you're not going to live. You're going to die and stay dead.
Right.
You'll suffer eternal damnation in hell, eternal separation from God. The Bible teaches that. Jesus conquered two kinds of death. He conquered spiritual death. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You notice that? You understand that? Spiritual death has been conquered.
Amen.
I'm alive and I can't die spiritually.
Right.
I cannot die. Lady got mad at me one time. I don't know why, but made her mad. And she just jumped up and down and hollered and said, go straight to the bad place. Why I said it, I don't know. But I said, ma'am, I can't. If you said go to heaven, I could go, but I can't go to hell.
Right.
That made her even, if it's a word, madder. She was hot, but I can't go to hell. You see, Christ conquered spiritual death. I'm alive.
Amen.
I'm alive. And he conquered physical death as well. Physical death has been conquered in the Lord. The Bible teaches it. The Bible shows it. The Bible gives us instruction concerning it. For here in 1 Corinthians once again, in chapter 15, and remember these words in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He's conquered it.
Amen.
He's conquered it. The sting of death is sin. Has he paid our sin debt? The strength of sin is the law. He fulfilled it. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you have faith in Christ? Faith in him. Have to understand this, faith in Christ. Not faith in faith, not faith in feelings, but faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Faith in what he did for you. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Do you believe this morning that Christ died for your sins? That he was buried, and when he arose, your sins were gone, taken care of? I believe that.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that. You say, preacher, is that it? Yes, it is. I'm sorry for the things that I've done and those things that I did before I came to Christ, but I'm happy that I know him and I'm trusting him fully.
Amen.
For salvation. 100%. Everlasting life, a present possession. There is therefore now no condemnation. I like that. It is now that I'm not condemned. And then heaven says that death doesn't get the last word. Salvation changes my destination.
Amen.
I get on MapQuest sometime or get on Rand McNally. And when I was coming up here, before I got here, I got on there and said, all right, let me figure out my miles and figure out how far it's going to take me to get up there in the hinterland. And I had to get on there and it said destination. Well, where are you going? It wanted to know where I was going. And I was coming to Olmsted. I thought I was coming to Olmsted. But I understand that that L drops out of there. Amen?
Right.
So I'm local now. I can say Om. Okay? So I was coming to Olmsted. And it's actually on the map. Elliot's not. You put in Elliot and you can't find it. It's just, I mean, it's not there. Some of the maps now have it. But it's one of those missed places. You know, put Duck Hill in there and boy, it comes right up, all 300 of us. I mean, it does it. But salvation changes our destination.
Amen.
I mean, I was headed to hell and now I'm going in a different direction.
Amen.
My destination has been changed. The saved go to heaven when they die. The lost go to hell when they die. It's That's what the Bible teaches. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Philippians 1, 21, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To die is gain. For the person who has a new destination, to die is gain. For the person who still has the old destination, to die is loss.
Right. Amen.
To die is loss. I'm glad I'm headed in a different direction. I'm glad that on the little bar up there that says destination, it's typed in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die. And it's far better to go to heaven. That's what Paul says in Philippians 1:23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." I'm telling you, I've got a wonderful place to depart and be with Christ is better. Is better. For Christians, to die is to be with Christ. What about you that are lost? It's not to be with Christ. It's to be with the devil. It's to burn in hell. 2 Corinthians 5:8, scripture we're familiar with. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. We are confident. We read this the other night. Maybe last night. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See, Christians are with the Lord at death. Now, I want to live because the Lord's put a desire in my heart to live. I want to live. I do. I want to keep going. Keep serving. Don't want to do anything else other than what I do. This is what I love to do. But one day I'll die. That's going to happen. And I'm going to go to a better place.
Amen.
I mean, what could be better, you know, than the people of God and refreshed with the fellowship of the people of God and the good things that we know here? But heaven's better.
Amen.
It is far better. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, prepare a place for you, I'll receive you unto myself. Now, I'm closer to it than some folk in here, in the natural sense of things, closer to heaven. And there's a song that says, "Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. One of these days, I'm going to leave this old world behind. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time." Years ago, when I first was saved, I started a prayer list. And I had on that prayer list, for my daily prayers, my grandparents. I had on there a lot of preacher brethren. Still do. Prayed for a lot of preachers this morning. But you know what? My prayer list for my family has shrunk. Those of my immediate family, why? They've departed. Some to heaven, others to hell. Sad to say, I have kin folks who did not believe in Christ alone for salvation. But there's a departing. One of these days, I hope you'll go to heaven.
Amen.
Know the Lord. Trust in Him. And then resurrection says that death doesn't get the last word. And we find some great guarantees. I like a guarantee. Now, some guarantees aren't worth the paper they're written on. Amen. But these guarantees are written on this paper. And this is a King James Version of the Bible. All right?
Amen.
And I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm concerned about the wave, even among independent Sovereign Grace Baptists, to get away from the text.
Amen.
You see, the text is the difference. That's where the difference is. It's in the text. This is a received text, translated from the received text. You get away from that, and you're in trouble.
Amen.
And there's this plea now that, well, maybe we could do this, maybe we can do that. You better stick with what is proven. Amen?
Amen.
Stick with that which is true and what is good. There are great guarantees in Christ's resurrection. We are guaranteed our Savior. I mean, we're going to see Him. We're going to be with Him. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Romans 1 and verse 4, where the Bible says, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He is alive. The grave is empty.
Amen.
Christ is alive. And then we're guaranteed our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 14. Where the Bible says here, and if Christ be not raised, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If He's not alive, I have no business being here this morning. It's all in vain, but He is alive. You say, how do you know? He's living in my heart.
Amen.
I mean, something happened when I trusted Him and Him alone. Simply trusting. And then it says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If the dead rise not, then is Christ. Listen, the reason we have a resurrection, because He's alive. Because He rose. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. But my sins are gone. Then they also which are asleep in Christ are perished. That graveyard I walked through, those in there who trusted in Christ and have been buried, listen, they're perished. It's over. There's nothing left if He's not alive. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If He's not alive. Oh, but verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He is alive. He is up from the grave. He is alive. And we have a guarantee of a similar resurrection there in verse number 20, and become the first fruits of them that slept. He arose. He's the first fruit of those that rise to die no more. We will rise and die no more.
Amen.
If we're saved.
Amen.
Very important. Christ will resurrect our bodies. And we're going to be like Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I'm going to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Down here, I struggle with that. I do. I struggle with it. I don't want to be struggling with it, but I do. I want to do right until the stars fall, and then do right. But I struggle. But one of these days I'm going to be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is, not only with the physical eye and the spiritual eye, but I will see the characteristics and really understand it all one of these days. Now I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 15:55, and I want you to remember these two taunting questions that we gave early in the message. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ's conquest and conquering of death gives us victory. It does. And the conqueror deserves our service and our devotion, as we see in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast because of this. Therefore. You got a therefore, see what it's there for. Amen.
Right.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He is alive. He has resurrected. Your labor is not in vain.
Amen. Amen.
It is not in vain.